It's time once again for the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva. Here's your host, Kenny B.
All right, we're on.
All right, guys, we're talking about
signing your system.
No, I want to sign the guitar in the studio. It's right there. It's right in front of me. I'm sitting here. I got my board man over there denying me. I got a Sharpie in my hand. I know everybody's wondering what the heck we're talking about.
I mean, you can
There's guitars hanging up on the wall here with people's signatures. I asked him who signed them. He says he doesn't know. I said, well, I think that if you're doing the radio show in the studios, I think everybody gets to sign it. So I think I would sign right under Axl Rose. I see Axl Rose's. Anyways, yeah. Welcome to the ESPN, the William Hill Sports Show, Josh.
Thanks, Ken. Well, that's quite an intro. That's tough to follow, let me tell you. I'm sure the value of that guitar would, you know, go up or down on eBay should you,
yeah,
you know, put your signature with all the others. So
I suggest our program manager or our board guy does not leave the room because I do have a Sharpie in my hand.
And you would, not leaving.
And you would never know.
Spencer's not leaving.
Spence? That's right. All right. Josh Nagel from Sportsline, what's going on? Welcome to this week's edition of the William Hill Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM. Got off on a little tangent right
there.
Yeah,
we got a little college football, a few games, three games tonight, all are already in progress. So we could give them the scores or whatever, but checking a little bit of that out. But, of course, there's a lot more this week, Masters golf and all the other football to get to.
Absolutely. And Wolfpack basketball getting ready to start up soon, too. That's pretty exciting. I've been watching a lot of clips that they've been sending out, like get to know the players and stuff like that. And I'm excited.
They're all on our page, actually.
Yeah. Pardon me?
We've been posting them on the page.
Good. So, and that's John the Hawk Stevens over there.
Yo.
He takes care of a lot of our Facebook page, Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Post a lot of sports-related stuff, give out some picks, trying to guide you guys at least down a positive road of decision-making when it comes to sports wagering. And it's all about information, and that's basically what we like to post. But we do post our picks, too. So, John, thanks for all that, bud.
Absolutely.
And Tommy Thompson, the return from a 2 week vacation.
2 weeks.
10 days, vacation. 2 weeks. If you're the governor, it's 10 days. If you're anybody else, it's 2 weeks.
Right. Yeah. It's all right. Happy to be here. Happy to talk about Masters. It's crazy to be having this in November and a lot of good numbers on the board for them. So good betting action if you want to fire up your William Hill mobile app and get some in play going.
Absolutely. Fire up the William Hill mobile app. You can download that at www.williamhill.us. Full service sports mobile app right at your fingertips. Josh, there are three games in action right now. Do you have any action on any of these? What do you see? I see Cincinnati. I was going to fire a little bit on Cincinnati. I missed the number. Cincinnati's up 7 right now. They're laying about 27.5. However, right before we went on break, I did pull up Sportsline. And Josh, you're right there on the front page of Sportsline. And you actually gave out online on sportsline.com. ECU plus 27.5.
Yeah, you know, and I actually bet it at the full 28, which was sweet on that William Hill app earlier today. Got to that next key number. It's awesome to have the full four, you know, touchdowns and not lose if it came 28 even. But, I was kind of looking for that. You see the sports line number we have, which is actually, as I've mentioned, the William Hill live number at the time the pick is embedded. But, I just felt like it was a flat spot. Like, Cincinnati's really good. It looks like they're ranked 7th. I'll say I haven't seen 6 teams better than them all year. They're probably underranked as a 7th and 6-0. You know, they've been taking on teams like Memphis, Houston every week, those AAC upper-tier teams, and just wiping them out, 49-10, like, every game. So they're dominant now. I mean, their coach Luke Fickell was an Ohio State guy. He was the defensive coordinator there. He started, you know, on that side of the ball, you know, taking over for Tuberville. And now they're just – it's crazy. I mean, they're lethal on both ends. So they're a great team, but I just thought ECU was, you know, just a little slept on. I mean, that's a lot of points, and they're not bad. I thought it could be a little letdown spot for Cincinnati.
What's that total, Josh?
What was the total?
Mid-50s, wasn't it?
Yeah, 58, I want to say.
It seems a little light for the way Cincinnati's been putting the ball in the end zone.
Yeah, and that's another thing. In fact, looks like they're about to go up 14-0, but the thing I was counting on from ECU a little bit is their defense is susceptible, but they've been able to move the ball on anybody. They've put up a lot of points even against decent teams. I was thinking they could get something going enough to cover 4 touchdowns.
I might have been reading your article today, Josh, and correct me if I'm wrong, but somebody made the comment that they're a couple plays away, they could be 3-3.
Right, that was that was in my blurb there. So, and what I'm referring to there is like, okay, if you're aware, they were ahead like 24-0 against Navy, somehow collapsed. The biggest comeback in Navy history. And it's like, obviously, if you somehow...
Well, yeah, they run the ball.
Right, it's hard to catch up when you're them. But nonetheless, so if they somehow hold on, obviously, preserve that outcome, that's a win. And then you probably saw the game they were involved in a couple weeks ago with Tulsa, 2-touchdown dog, where they basically took... Wasn't it an official's call that took ECU's touchdown away? Everyone was furious about it. It was whatever, the talk on social media and everything all night. So they more or less got robbed in the other one. So I was like, yeah, just those two plays. It's a 3-3 team, and they're not terrible. In fact, what ECU, in fact, they just forced a turnover. This is where they're best against the spread, is that they're still sort of underrated. A pretty good coach just took over last year. So they're always going to get this boatload of points, and they're usually respectable enough to hang in there. So that was the one play I released on Sportsline for tonight. The other ones are already in progress, those being Iowa, Minnesota, and Florida Atlantic and Florida International.
Absolutely. John, I know you're still working from home. John, did you let me guess, you watched the Masters all day
long? All day long. Exactly.
Tiger
might, I was working, but yes.
Tiger might, yeah, you just, I had it on my, in my office. I have it on, right. I'm just, you know, just so I can look up and listen. So right now, I heard something today. The three top golfers in the world are actually tied for the lead. Which they say that's the first time that's ever happened, which is, you would think that that's kind of.
Well, yeah. At the Masters or just in any tournament?
Oh, man, I wish I would have listened, but I mean, I'm not exactly sure.
But yeah, no, it's, I wouldn't think that that would be that common of an occurrence, but that's, I have Dustin Johnson plus $9, so that's where I was sitting. And Patrick Cantlay is who else I put money on.
Oh, wow. So you're right there.
I'm right there.
So four golfers are at the top of the board right now. Adam Anser, -9. Cameron Smith, -9. Justin Thomas, -9. And Dustin Johnson, -9. I definitely like Dustin Johnson, DJ, this tournament. You just got to like the way he rises to the occasion.
He's just solid.
I was talking to Nick Bogdanovich today, or actually on Wednesday before the first tee, and we were talking about who he likes and who he doesn't like. And he said that the steam is all on Bryson DeChambeau, but Nick's also told me
don't taunt the golf gods.
Nick said that this course is not built for him, and he said that he's going to have a blow up round.
Well,
obviously, what happened today? I bet him in a matchup today. I text you this, John, today. Yeah. I bet him in a matchup today versus Rom.
Yeah.
After five holes, I was 6 strokes behind. Yeah. Virtually impossible.
Right.
Virtually impossible. You know, you got a guy ranked in the top 10 in the world. I'm 6 strokes back after five.
Right.
Well, there's money in a fire.
Yeah, what did he say?
He said 67 is par for him.
Yeah, I thought it was 65. But
yeah, 67.
Still.
That's what he said. He said played 67 to him or whatever.
And the golf gods of the Augusta said, okay. Yeah.
His very first swing goes into the bushes.
Jones
takes a double.
He turns into me.
Then he hit a provisional into the water.
Yeah,
right.
But they found the original, I guess. I don't know.
Well, okay. All the hype is on DeChambeau. You're right, especially the Masters. Stunned that he ended up as with the pretty, you know, overwhelming favorite about 6-1, and I realize he's been coming up the ranks. But I don't know, what do you guys think about the general? I think it's weird the hype he's getting. I know he's been playing well, but the thing where it's just like all about brute strength, and like,
that's exactly it.
He's sort of becoming the villain, and
because he wasn't that before, and right. For him to completely reconstruct his body, reconstruct his swing to get to this, it's pretty interesting to see.
Right. Well, what do you think, also,
and
Johnny?
We want to see these guys hit it 400.
Right. Well, the Tiger Woods thing, though, many people have speculated that his increase, you know, he did the same thing. He used to be kind of wiry or whatever. Uh-huh. At some point, though, he went full training.
Yeah.
You know, there are times he looked like an NFL linebacker in his prime. And some people wonder, did he get so ripped that, yeah, you know, it's going to lead to some injuries and other issues? Could it be a contributing factor? You never know. So I guess that argument, especially only recently, has been in play. Like, what's the advantage of bulk in golf?
Exactly. And Koepka, too. I mean, there's some great players
Koepka's
with that
a big
bulk,
guy, too.
So
totally.
Who knows? You know, wiry guys like Justin Thomas and Dustin Johnson. I don't think there's only one way to skin that cat.
And there's a really good chance that tomorrow morning, when they actually finish round two, as it stands right now, DeChambeau's going to miss the cut. So he's out there tooting his own horn and won't even make it to the weekend.
You know what?
Game day from
I think what I heard was if John Rahm has a birdie putt coming back tomorrow, and if he makes that, it'll be the first time. Maybe that's what I heard.
Okay, yeah, I think he's got like it's like a 9 or a 3 foot birdie putt to put him at -9.
So I think that would probably tie him with Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas. That's where we're
there
at.
You
so,
go.
Exciting sense. Stuff though. I mean, here we have the Masters in November, and you're just absolutely glued to your TV.
The course is just still in pristine condition. It's unbelievable. It just looks different. It really does.
Absolutely. So coming back, John, you also said one stroke back is Patrick Cantlay.
Yes.
Sungjae Im
at 2,200.
Nice. Hideki Matsuyama and John Rahm, like we said, who didn't finish today. He's got, I think he's got a birdie putt coming back. So pretty exciting stuff. You know, a lot of these big, there's no really long shots here. I mean, I guess Pan maybe is right there. Oosthuizen is two back. And Sebastian Munoz is three back. So once you know the top 10 or 12 golfers.
Abraham Ancer, he's kind of come out of nowhere. This is his first time playing Augusta, right there, tied for the lead.
He shot 68, 67, so he's at one.
Big league hair, too.
John Rahm actually has six more holes to complete tomorrow, round two. So, I mean, it's possible the way he's been playing, he could be solo in the lead and not do that trifecta of the top three being tied.
So, question, and I'm kind of embarrassed because I don't know this answer. Maybe you guys do. Is there a projected cut with this, or
is the projected cut as of right now? And
so that's with them finishing their rounds tomorrow. They're looking at even being. And so, and what did Bryson come in at?
Plus one.
Two. Oh, plus one. So
wow.
How many holes he got left, or is he done?
He is through 12 as well.
Okay, yeah, he'll make the cut.
Yeah, through 12, he's plus two.
He'll be grouped tonight.
So he's a. He's probably on the driving range right now. Well, they said after his round Thursday, he went straight to the driving range to work out the kinks.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show you that you can develop some bad habits when it comes to golf. Believe me, I know.
Nobody knows that more than me.
We had a good round of golf. We played a round of golf in Tennessee. Yes, we did. It was pretty fun. I had a great time.
Where you're petting sheep.
We did. There were sheep on the course, Josh.
Sheep. That I haven't seen.
Kenny really was sheep. Awful friendly with the sheep.
Helping it over the fence?
No, I was getting away from JD.
I thought he was just looking for his ball in the woods there, and we come over the
it was
ridge.
Not in the woods.
Come over the ridge.
It was on the left.
Kenny's got another sheep
fairway.
In the woods. He's making me feel at home in Oklahoma.
And he literally is petting a sheep playing golf in Tennessee.
There's a video of it. We lost it somehow, though.
Yeah, that's true.
It's in the cloud.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
What else is going on right now? We talked a little bit about this. Let's. What time is it? We got 4 minutes. I don't want to get into the Wolfpack football. We'll do that next segment. So, Josh, anything else that you got on Sportsline that you want to share with everybody? And just remember, you can get all Josh's stuff. It's currently up right now at sportsline.com. Josh's articles are right there. Actually, if you type one, he's going to be on the front page right now. Josh Nagel, East Carolina, plus 27.5. Anything else you stuck up there, Josh?
Well, like I said, all those other games are in progress, but I'm going to have some stuff for tomorrow for sure. For instance, one I can just give out before the break. Miami, Virginia Tech's tomorrow. Virginia Tech sort of underachieved, but they're like a 2.5-point chalk. Hurricanes find a way. It's crazy that they're 6-1, as inconsistent as they usually are. But remember last week we were watching Miami came back down big against NC State and won. I just sort of feel like their bubble kind of burst. So I did put a pick on the site for Virginia Tech -2 against Miami. It's an early game.
Emory Hunt, Josh, he's one of your writers.
He's a contributor.
So he has a lot of posts on here, too. Is he new?
No, he's been around a few years. Here's what's funny, Ken.
Because he has a lot of college football picks.
Yes, I could tell you off air, too, but anyone who's interested. But Emory Hunt, he's actually one of our best. He's since been hired as a CBS HQ analyst, and he's a former – he was a player at Louisiana Lafayette not too long ago, Raging Cajuns. He was a running back. He's been in coaching. He does coaching seminars and stuff for a living. So I'll say of all our contributors – he's by far the most shrewd with the X's and O's, right? Just matchups and how teams win the games. So you can learn from him. I follow him on Twitter and stuff too, just to learn his insides and outs. But then, a couple of years back, he started picking the games for us against the spread too. And honestly, I think maybe he was a little inexperienced at first because knowledge of the game, as we know, doesn't always translate to understand what the spreads are about. But once he got the hang of it, now he's been on fire. Last year, he gave us both sports, NFL, NCAA football, he was hugely profitable. I think he was at about 60% in both. As you see, after the pick, it shows you whatever his record is. He's done well this year, too, so he's worth paying attention to.
I'm looking on the sports line, looking at your guys' picks. He has – Emory Hunt actually has – he likes Nevada -17 tomorrow. But, Josh, what I've noticed here, you got Emory Hunt, the czar of the playbook. You got R.J. White, super stat geek. Who else do we got here? Everybody has a nickname. Josh, you got to get a nickname. All you are is senior analyst.
Right.
Come on, buddy. Come on.
I'm open to suggestion, man.
Are you?
You know I'm not all about the flash and dash. I tell you what, okay, if you – you come up with something good, I'll change it during the commercial. One on the website.
So let's pick a few names, put it up on the Facebook page, and have everybody vote.
Josh Nagel from Sportsline, but we're going to give him a nickname because everybody else.
Which, by the way, does have to pass some, approval.
Oh, no, it's going to be legit. It's going to be legit.
Okay.
It's going to be legit. John, I know you got one of the tip of your
Well, Super Stat Geek is taken, so I got to go back to the drawing board.
Josh, he's throwing daggers at you.
I know. And Cincinnati just scored on defense, so.
Oh,
yeah,
oh
end of the segment's just not going my way at all.
Cincinnati up 13-0 yep. with just starting the second quarter. So, Zach Simini, is that how you say that?
Simini, yeah.
Simini?
He's great, by the
What's
way.
What's his name? Contrarian with Schutzpah?
You got it.
Schutzpah.
Huh?
But he,
I wanted to say it right.
So. He's a younger guy. Actually, he lives in Vegas. He's from Arizona originally. Really, I think midish to late 20s. A real young guy, but he's gifted. Man, if you follow Zach, he's one of our most consistent percentage winners in every sport. He's just always, he's insightful. Like he's always, as we all try to accomplish, but he's kind of ahead of the curve. Instead of reactive, he kind of anticipates what's happening next. When it comes to just sort of identifying good, bad spots for teams. Believe me, he's great, and I wouldn't say that because there are many contributors on our site. I would vouch for some way more than others, but the two you just mentioned are very good. So Emery Hunt and Zach Simony are worth following.
All right, good deal. Make sure that you let your boss know that I gave him like a whole 4-minute segment on Sportsline.
Yeah, I will.
Not that he cares, but we appreciate you guys.
Right.
I mean, I it's one of the first Sportsline.com is one of the first websites I pull up when I start looking at stuff.
You cool. Know, well, thanks
guys,
for
you
that.
You guys give away free picks and everything, and it's good stuff. It really is, Josh. I appreciate the content. So,
cool.
All right, let's head off to our first commercial break. Come back. I want to talk about Wolfpack football. 3-0 Nevada Wolfpack taking on New Mexico tomorrow. I got lots of stats on this game, and I got a pretty strong feeling too. So I'll give you that after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline, Tommy Thompson, and John the Hawk Stevens. We're still looking for a nickname for Josh on his Sportsline handle. He has a senior analyst on his Sportsline, but we're going to come up with something a little bit better than that, so.
Then prepare for the picks to start losing fast.
Oh.
Fade me as soon as you see.
We won't give you a nickname until you go on a downward spiral. Then we'll try and change the
That's
like,
fair.
Shape, like shape.
Okay,
of the beard,
okay.
Like
then we'll get it. Sitting in reserve, ready
we'll
to
a
use.
Slump buster for him.
A slump buster. There you go.
All right.
Wolfpack plays New Mexico tomorrow at 3:30. 3-0 Wolfpack. I'm so excited about this team, and you could see the discouraged attitude, I guess, from Coach Norvell when he initially heard that the season was going to be canceled because he kind of obviously understood how good this team was going to be. And so far, they're playing up to those expectations. Yeah. I mean, I'm very excited about what we're seeing. You know, we play New Mexico tomorrow, 17 at a neutral site because of the COVID, some COVID stuff that happened down in New Mexico, playing at Sam Boyd. Wouldn't it be great? I mean, first of all, Nevada's laying 17.5, the total 63. There's one thing the Rebels can never take back, guys, is that their first game at Allegiant,
right.
They lost to Nevada.
Exactly.
Can't take that.
They
can't
lost
take that
the
back.
Cannon.
They lost the cannon. Well, that's what happens when you play Vegas and you beat them, you get the cannon. But second of all, how great would it be if we go down there and beat New Mexico at their own stadium, too?
We'll be 2-0
down north or down south.
Yeah. It's a crazy turn of events. And I like what Coach Norvell is saying about their routine is going to be the same as it was a couple weeks ago. They're familiar. They're staying in the same place. There's no surprises. This is going to be old hat for them. It's going to be just like playing at home, really.
A lot of sharp people I know, a lot of guys that I follow, they're all in love with Nevada laying this 17 points. Obviously, there's been a move since I looked earlier today because it's up to 17.5. Let's see. What did Nick use on the – did he put the Nevada game?
If they're motivated, if they're ready to go, they can name their number, I think.
There's only one negative factor in everything that I've handicapped on this game. They have San Diego State on deck. That's the only thing that I find negative. We can go over this. I can tell you right now, I'll just start throwing this stuff out there. Wolfpack's 3-0 this year. They're 3-0 versus the spread. New Mexico's 0-2 this year. They're 1-1 versus the spread. Both the New Mexico games have gone over. Carson Strong's just having an incredible year. He's ranked number 42 in the nation in yards per game at 1,181. But you also have to keep in mind, a lot of those teams have played more than three games.
Right.
So I think that if you had the same sample size, he's probably going to be in the top 10 as far as yardage, Josh.
No, it's good to keep that mind cap with everything, right? So some teams, it's crazy. Some teams have already played 8-9 games. Some teams haven't played two. So these stats are all relative. But remember, so for instance, when it comes to guys like our Heisman candidate, Kyle Trask, I saw today, tied for the country. Lee has got 22 touchdown passes, but that's tied for number one. But all three other quarterbacks, he's played five games. All the other quarterbacks have played like at least seven.
Yeah.
So that shows you the context matters.
Sure. And absolutely. You know, and going on down the road, John, he's Carson Strong, number six in the nation in completion percentage at 73.3.
So I'm throwing a pick.
Yeah. 200. He's the longest streak in the nation without throwing a pick. And what's it, 200?
He's about 26 or something away from the Mountain West record. I almost said WAC record.
Oh, really?
The Mountain West record,
yeah. Who has that, Detmer?
I don't know, because Detmer wasn't in the Mountain West.
Oh, when he was at BYU.
Yeah, so I'm not exactly sure. Oh, it's Derek Carr.
Oh, that's okay, Derek Carr. He's number Carson Strong, number 19 in the nation in yards per completion at number 9, 37 in total TDs at number 9. And Josh, going back to what we were saying, he's number 9 in the entire nation in QBR rating.
Yeah, and you're right, Ken. Basically, the production has gotten attention nationally. And people, we were talking at the break how Nevada's had some pretty nice primetime TV slots. Rather, game probably attracted more of an audience than they would have otherwise. But you know, you watch the way this offense has grown, and it, like I said, it's getting the attention of the announcers and other analysts, because they're like, wow, they are for real on that side of the ball. And with the defensive numbers have been pretty good so far. I still think it worries me a little bit. Like, you see the physicality of Wyoming, like that second half. I wonder how they'll do against a team with a real physical front as the game wears on. So I wonder about depth and everything on the defensive line. Finesse-type teams tend to be a liability on defense. But I just think if they could shore up a little bit on that end as well, I mean, it's just crazy how this season – and again, waiting on more quality opponents in the future. But so far, they've looked way better than I expected.
Absolutely. Romeo Dubs, John, I know you're a big fan of Romeo Dubs, too. Yeah. He's number 37 in yards in the entire NCAA and number 23 in total TDs at 5. But it goes back to John, just like we're 7. His stats are only through 3 games.
Yeah, it's completely relative, like Josh said. But he's a problem. Not having Elijah Cooks there against the better defensive teams on the other end is going to – it's going to be a more of a challenge, but other than that, you're having the guys step up in his stead, and I love it. This is the air raid we were waiting for, and they still haven't really broken out yet. I'm waiting for them to hang half a 100, like you say.
Right, Jen. The one thing I was curious, I was going to say too. I saw, in every game so far, but UNLV, I mean, you name it. How many have they missed that were there?
Yeah.
How many times have they just done that go route thing? I mean, Nevada's got all kinds of explosive plays.
I can think of three off the top of my head, yeah.
Right. The receiver was 5 yards past everybody. It was just an errant throw or missed timing or whatever. I feel like they've left a lot of plays on the table too,
which is a good thing.
They can only be successful because they get blocking up front too. So I mean, this success from Carson Strong and Romeo Dubs, the offensive line's playing pretty good.
Yep, Union looks strong.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
But we're, after this week versus New Mexico, we are getting ready to step up in talent, too. But, San Diego State wasn't impressed. Wasn't impressed with Boise until last night.
Yeah.
They
brought all their tricks out of the bag last night.
Yeah, but Colorado State, all we got to do is be able to punt and not get kicks blocked, and I think we'll be okay with Boise. I'm excited about the rest of the year. I mean, the Pack legitimately has a chance to go undefeated.
Well, let's hope they play Boise, because that would mean
The Mountain West Conference Championship. Yeah, so, but here's how I handicap the game, guys. Looking at New Mexico, they're, like I said, they're 0-2. They've played Hawaii and San Jose State. Against Hawaii threw for 410 yards against New Mexico.
Oh boy.
San Jose State, 481 yards they threw against New Mexico.
San Jose State, who upset the San Diego State Aztecs last week.
Right.
But I called on the show.
And I told you today, John, we were texting back and forth about this. Out of the 123 Division I football programs, New Mexico's defense is ranked 120th. And it goes back to exactly what you said, John. If they come to play, they name the score.
Yep.
Absolutely name the score. It goes back to what I tweeted you and you just quoted. The old Barry Switzer, back at Oklahoma, and they said, how are you going to do this? Like, he goes, well, if we play good, we're going to hang half a 100 on them. This could be the game where we hang half a 100 on them.
I agree.
So, but do we, the only thing you really have to worry about is do they get up ahead early and just try to keep everybody healthy, run the ball?
Yeah, so maybe a Wolfpack first half bet's in order is what you're telling me.
I like it. The only thing that scares me a little bit about that is if you remember the Utah State game, they came out a little bit flat, fall behind 9-0.
Which is why I like the them to come out firing this time.
You know, you have these hungry teams. When it comes to look-ahead games, my philosophy on that is if you're respectfully in Alabama or somebody and you got a cupcake you're facing this week, but you have LSU or Auburn or somebody on deck, I can see kind of a look-ahead right there. This Pac team is hungry. Yeah. I don't think we have look-ahead games yet.
I think you're right.
I think they're looking to blow the doors off this team, go down and show the South we own Vegas.
That's right.
We beat you your home opener at Allegiant. We're going to beat this team here, and we own the South.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
Hopefully they make the Vegas funny, that, you know, I mean, Nevada might have more wins at Allegiant than UNLV gets the whole year.
The truth of the matter is they're going to have more wins in the South if they win this week, not just Allegiant.
Because this game's at Sam Boyd.
Right. Yes.
Nevada's offense plays much better. I mean, stadiums like Allegiant, I think obviously the turf is a help with that team speed. But, I will say about New Mexico, I mentioned waiting for the Pac game a couple of weeks ago. I ended up seeing the second half against San Jose State, that one of those games that just lasted forever because there's actually surprisingly a lot of offense in that game. So I saw about probably most of the second half, and even though San Jose State did kind of pull away. You know, New Mexico was all right. Their young quarterback was getting better. He actually had a fairly big game in that, I want to say, against San Jose State. He threw for about 300 and ran for a bunch more. So that would be my support argument for them. So it appears like they have enough offense. And with that many points, if you could cover doing whatever, 34-20 or whatever, I could see them holding their own just enough to cover.
It's interesting. I understand what you're saying. The one thing that concerns me, another thing slightly, is against Hawaii, they rushed for 279 yards. So we're gonna have to be able to stop the run because they're gonna want to control the ball. They can't afford to get into a shootout at all.
For sure.
So
for
that's kind of so you kind of get that. John and everybody, I guess, Nevada's defense is ranked number 12 in the nation, only giving up 306 yards a game.
Yeah, that's what's been the most impressive is their defense has been really stout. And remember, they have a couple of days extra to prepare this week.
That was one of my next.
I think you're right. I don't think the look ahead is really a thing.
Yeah, Ken, I saw an interesting stat defensively that I thought you'd appreciate today, but Nevada's points per game defense. You know who else they're better than right now? Georgia. Just a couple of weeks ago, Georgia was the number one defense in the country. But they got torched twice, Alabama and Florida. But still, nonetheless, you say you have a better defense than Georgia at the moment. That's fairly impressive.
So let's go over those stats.
Wyoming, Utah State don't really match up with Florida.
Yeah,
I know. Hey, by the way, Gary Anderson's last game ever as a coach was here.
Oh, did they fire him?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. They showed him the door the next day.
They got back to Utah, and he gone.
And wow. I tell you what, rightfully so.
Did drop him an elko?
That was the worst team I've seen all year. They were so terrible. Utah State, no wonder.
I bet Utah State that night, too. And it was so did I. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get this.
The false hope early. Yeah. And
I don't think he even made the bus trip back.
He was gone quick.
Yeah,
they should have hired him back. I mean, believe me, Gary Anderson's kind of shady. I mean, he left, went to Wisconsin and said, I don't like the bright lights, big city. I'm just going to bail. They said, going to go to a more obscure place, Oregon State. And then he literally quit on them halfway through a season, wrecked the program, just walked out one day after they lost. And so what's Utah State doing, taking him back? I mean, they just had to.
Where did he go now?
Matt Wells, their guy, went
probably
to Texas.
Wisconsin.
Tax, so they thought good idea to get him back, but get rid of that guy.
Huh. Wow. Look at the defensive stats right now, guys. Nevada, we already talked about, ranked number 12 in the nation on defense, giving up 306 yards in total yards, 121 on the ground, 185 through the air, and only giving up 20.7 points per game. And this is the reason I really like Nevada. Like I already kind of mentioned, New Mexico's ranked number 120 out of 123. They're giving up 540 yards in offense a game, 96 on the ground. 445 yards they give up through the air. 445.
I think you're going to see a lot of Tua Taua in this game. He kind of had a breakout game against Utah State. And, of course they're going to take their shots down the field, but I think you see a steady and Devontae Lee.
Yeah, it's worth noting, too. Ken, I think I mentioned San Jose State has a pretty good offense this year. I mentioned their quarterback, Dick Starkle, is a former SEC guy. So it apparently also gives you some evidence that against good offensive teams with good quarterbacks, they haven't matched up so well thus far.
You know, going back to what you're saying, Emory Hunt from Sportsline, his top pick right here was Nevada minus 17. It's already dipped a little bit over that. You can already tell that Nick Bogdanovich, the lead trader, likes Nevada because he actually taxed you a little bit, and he made Nevada minus 17 trying to get some interest, you know, to moving the half point over that key number of 17. But I'm with you, John. I'm going to echo exactly what your statement was earlier, that if the Pack comes to play, this game is over at halftime. And, you know, you just got to be careful about the backdoor cover, you know, late in the game when, you know, we go into clock mode and running the ball and trying to get everybody out to stay healthy versus the following week versus San Diego State. I'm going to pull this up real quick. What is the first half? What is it? Let me see what the first half line is here.
John, you
Nevada
think
minus Nevada minus 9 in the first half, John, with a total of 31.5.
John, you think Tua gets over 100 yards tomorrow?
Yeah, I do.
You have to pick your poison, and once Nevada gets up, they're gonna
run the ball a lot.
And you know, if they start keying in on the run game, we'll go up top. If we go, you know, you kind of got to. We're getting to the point where you got to pick your poison here when it comes to this offense. What are you gonna try? We have NFL players. Carson Strong's gonna be an NFL player.
Yeah.
Dubs is gonna be an NFL player. Yeah. I mean, just so we're loaded. I mean, just I'm excited about this.
You know, it's funny, Ken. Just from X's nose standpoint, I thought what Utah State came out in. I don't know if they're playing the whole way. Obviously, they have personnel problems regardless, but that 3-5-3 that they tried, I'm like, that seemed to make sense. Like, just the sort of that super conservative, keep it in front of you style, like, just make them earn everything. I'm like, this is sort of a semi-prevent defense. I wonder if this is going to be effective. And you thought it would, but they just couldn't tackle. It's funny, right? So they're willing to give up the small stuff, and then you're supposed to tackle it and, you know, get off the field.
Yeah, that's a major flaw.
Yeah, right. They'd give up these little short slants and then not make the tackle and let a 50-yard play happen anyway. So I don't know what the answer is on defense either.
I text John during the Nevada Utah State game, and I said the one glaring thing that I noticed is Nevada is bigger and faster. We look big.
They do.
I mean,
yeah. And then, you know, this is Norvell's fourth year. They better look like this now. You know, we're all rooting for him, and I think he's a good man. He looks like he's a good coach. So I'm couldn't be happier right now. No, yeah. We take care of business in Vegas again.
Don't you love saying that?
I do.
Go take. Is Joe Robb listening?
I don't think he cares about this one.
Well, he cares. I'd be upset if Vegas came down here and played at Mackey.
Yeah, I would too.
Think about it.
I wouldn't let it happen.
Exactly.
They would have to play at Wooster.
Huh?
They'd have to play at Wooster.
Yeah, listen.
You finally found something that I would go out and pick it for.
Yeah. But keep the Rebels out of Mackey?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Go play at Reno High or something.
Question. I just thought about this. If you're the Pack, do you take the cannon?
Oh, God.
Don't you take the cannon and roll it out at Sam Boyd.
Yeah, right down Las Vegas Boulevard.
At the game.
Yes. Just to have a guy in the city just going all around.
Yeah.
But they don't care. They're all tourists. There's like seven
man.
People.
Josh, you take the cannon?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Just load it up in the semi with the equipment and take it.
Yes.
Yeah, you might as well.
Listen, if I see the cannon on the sideline, we're blowing their doors off.
Right.
Because we're not going to lose.
Well, they're going to have a cannon, aren't they? They're not considered the home team. New Mexico's the home team, right? So.
Yeah. I'm not talking about the.
No, I know you're not.
I'm talking about the blue.
The Fremont cannon.
Fremont cannon. All right, real quick, Josh, I'm going to tie you down. I'm going to throw out the number, Pack 17. I want to make it tough on you guys. 17.5, 63.
Yeah, I would put it this way. To me, it's too many points to lay. Like, if I had to place, we'll see as the day goes on, whatever. 17.5, whatever. I'd just take the points out of principle.
All right, neutral site. Tommy?
I'm betting the Pack all day.
Pack first half, and I like the under for the game. I really do think they're going to run the ball a lot.
I think the Pack scores half 100.
So do I.
We got to figure out how to get 14.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
All right. Pack, big bet for me tomorrow, guys. I'm going to make two bets. I'm going to bet the Pack and I'm going to bet the over. I'm going to split my bet into two bets. And you take 63, divide it by two, then add 8. So I think the Pack gets 40. And I think that's what my key number is. Oh, I've already done it. You're like going, wow.
I don't know what just happened, but it seemed like 39 to me.
Dustin Hoffman, it's 30, 39, right there.
39 point something, so we round up to 40. So game kicks off tomorrow, 3:30, televised game. Pack headed down to Sam Boyd to take on New Mexico, neutral site game. Pack lane 17.5, total 63. Make sure you tune in and back the Pack. We're going to head off to our next commercial break. When we come back, we're going to jump into the NFL on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
All right, welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show here at the ESPN Studios on 94.5 FM. Let's jump right into this William Hill card. First game that Nick has on the half-point parlay card, Steelers versus Cincinnati. Everything is to be determined. I'm looking on the William Hill Mobile Sports app right now, and I don't think that Nick's got up a line yet, probably because of the status of some of
it's
the...
It's 9.
Is it?
Yeah, Ben's playing. It's going to be 9. Huh. From everything
that's
I've
weird.
Seen.
It's not
I don't think it's not official yet, but
so you're looking at 9, you think, John?
You're looking at 9, which is right about there. The Steelers are teetering. They're due to drop one of these games. You can't end every game knocking down a pass in the end zone and get that far. I know the Bengals aren't exactly, they're better than the Cowboys maybe. They're not a pushover team. It's a quote unquote rivalry. I would lean the Bengals in this situation right here. There's no look ahead for the Steelers. They have the Jaguars on deck. The Ravens come on Thanksgiving, but I think the Bengals keep it close. I think the Steelers win a game similar to the Cowboy game. Because look what Gilbert did to them. Burrow can do twice that.
Yeah, I think it was a look-ahead game. But, you know how Tomlin is, JD. That could have very well been a wake-up call for Pittsburgh.
For sure.
And just say, listen, you guys, we can't sleep. And you don't have anything to worry about, with Pittsburgh. They have Jacksonville on deck. Cincinnati, this Burrow kid, he can pitch it, and he can, but man.
There's playing, some talent over
playing,
there.
Playing, going on the
and
road.
And they're hungry, and they're well-coached. Yeah, I think Zach Taylor's doing a good job.
You know what? I like
going
Burrow
on the
as
road,
well.
Playing Pittsburgh.
Their defense is a question. I feel like, and also they probably struggle with the Pittsburgh pass rush. That's the thing. Joe Burrow is amazing. It was funny. I wasn't sure if I was sold on him last year. The one great college year is just so bizarre. Find a light of day at Ohio State and wasn't that great at LSU his first year, so I wonder, has he worth the number one pick? But, man. They've already, and they got a great receiving core. It's just that they work well together. Like Tyler Boyd's the perfect, sure-handed slot guy. Yep. And T. Higgins, the rookie from Clemson, is like the explosive guy. So they got all kinds of weapons and a good run game when Mixon's healthy. Now it's just, though, build. So I think you've got all the weapons in place. They need to overhaul. Just terrible offensive and defensive line. But if they were to strengthen those units considerably with the draft of free agency, I think they're playoff, eligible possibly next year. But as it stands now, it's like it's kind of funny. It's an adventure. They do game plan well for Burrow with quick screens and stuff. But I worry for him. He's getting sacked a million times a game anyway. I think the Steelers could probably tee off on him.
Yeah,
I'd still take the points though, only because the Bengals are strong. They can score on anybody.
They can, and it's like I say, quote unquote rivalry. It's pretty one sided. Obviously, the Steelers won 17 out of 20, but. That doesn't mean the Bengals aren't circling this, and you try to knock off the big dog there, and right now it's the Steelers.
And they just blew out the Titans a couple weeks ago. The Bengals are improving every time.
Yeah. It is their Super Bowl, 100%.
It is, but I don't know. Yeah, if it is 9, those are the preliminary lines that I have seen. Obviously waiting on the Ben to be completely released here. He has to pass a test in the morning, and then he'll be good to go.
This is a Super Bowl. I'm kind of with Josh here. I think that if I can get Cincinnati at plus 10, if it gets to 10, I think there's a backdoor cover possibility there.
Sure. ESPN because has it at 10.5 right now.
There you go. They're going to pitch the ball the whole game.
And that same thing. I like that's Pittsburgh first half and then that backdoor cover late in the game if it's over 10 for Cincinnati to come out and cover.
All right. The Lions at home versus Washington, same thing. William Hill does not have a lineup on this game. Does anybody know the status of the Lions-Washington game? Anybody?
No. I don't have it up. I'm looking right now. Ken also up, but I can't find
it. I have the William Hill app up right now.
Gotcha.
ESPN has Detroit minus 4.5.
Now, these are all just
– yeah.
Don't take a lot of solace in this because if William Hill doesn't have it up, William Hill –
Exactly.
Is it the Redskins quarterback that they're worried about?
I think Alex Smith is.
Is it Alex Smith?
Alex Smith is starting. But Stafford missed due to COVID. Is he been cleared to able to play?
I believe so.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good. You say they might go back to Haskins?
I heard that they might.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, that's worth
it. And honestly, I think the Alex Smith thing's a great story or whatever, but I've been watching some of those Washington games, and I feel this way. He shouldn't be out there.
I'm nervous every
time. Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, he should not be. Yeah. The old Alex Smith, though, is known for his agility and all that. Obviously, he's almost 40 now, so he doesn't. He's lost a step. He had the broken legs or whatever. And it's like, don't. I said, yeah, put Haskins in the game. Like, yeah. I can't take the Alex Smith stuff.
He limps walking to the huddle.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
exactly.
Just, I'm like, going, no, you can't.
He's just always doing the instant dump off thing, too. He won't even, like, hold the ball in the pocket. It's like,
you've proven your point, bud. We got it. You're the toughest guy I know.
Exactly.
Go spend the money.
Exactly.
So, wow.
All
right, Browns at home, John. I'm throwing these up to you because some of these up to you because it's your division. Browns 3.5 on the card, total of 51.5. Where are we at right now? I gotta find my Browns stuff. Right now, still 3.5, 46.5. Cleveland 5-3, 3-5 versus the spread. Houston's 2-6 this year, 1-7 versus the spread. Houston coming off a hold-on win versus Jacksonville last week, 27-25, and Cleveland coming off a bye.
Coming off a bye after that ugly game against the Raiders. I think, you know, the Browns are in a spot right now where they are viable for that playoff spot. They have that extra wild card this year, don't they? So
yeah,
the Browns can fight for that. They're just a better team. At home, if you can get an under three, I'd love that, obviously. But I like the Browns here. I think they're without OBJ. I know you're not. It's crazy to say they're better without him, but watching those games, Baker would zone in on OBJ and then leave everybody else out there. So being able to spread it around, I think, is good for Baker.
And plus, he's better.
That Cincinnati game, he was 18-for-18 after OBJ left because he wasn't so myopic focused on that one guy.
And he's better in the intermediate stuff anyway, right? So he's better throwing to your Rashard Higgins or whoever else. Jarvis Landry and let me do some run after the catch stuff. And, you know, they run a lot of those, like, bootleg, cut the field stuff to the tight ends. That's where the stuff Mayfield throws the best and sometimes gives him a running option as well. So I do think, like, yeah, you sort of lose the big play possibility with Beckham, but also, like you said, it reduces those expectations of having to get it to him somehow and keep focusing on that short game that served him well. Having said that, I'm still not really a big fan of laying points with the Browns right now. So I would look at the Texans, one of the worst underachieving teams in the league, but I also like just the advantage, I think, Deshaun Watson. The weather's going to be bad again, which leads me to believe the Texans actually have a little bit better run game, especially with as much as Watson can do with his feet. I kind of like them a little bit.
Well, let's talk about a couple things real quick. Nick Chubb is due to be back this week, and they've already ruled out Johnson.
David Johnson is out. So
that means Duke Johnson is actually going to be the quarterback or the running back there. I'm going to look for some threes. If I can find a three, I'm going to wait for a three. If I can find three, I'm going to lay the three for sure. If not, I'll buy it down. I think this is a great spot for Cleveland. John, you have a 2-16, and they're 1-7. They have the 30th ranked defense. I'm talking about Houston. 30th ranked defense in the NFL. They're giving up 159 yards a game on the ground.
It feels like a rudderless ship there. Huh? It just feels like a rudderless ship in Houston.
Well, when Watt, JJ says, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm going to go play with my brothers.
Well, I mean, just
that's what's going on.
The O'Brien thing probably should have been done before this year.
Yeah. And then, I know it has nothing to do with on the field, but then they fired their marketing director.
What's the deal with that?
Yeah, I don't know. And then everybody's upset. So I don't know. I just think it's not a good organization to be playing for right now. So for those reasons, I like the Browns.
Yeah, I probably won't bet it straight up or anything like that, but I'll tease the Browns down on a little parlay to just have them win and. Hopefully hit a nice little ticket.
I think maybe Tommy is instead of teasing, why don't you look at taking the money line because it's you'll get more value just putting the Browns.
Teasing the short chalk is the worst number. 3.5,
because
3.
You're going to roll it over to 2.5, and you know basically you're looking. The Browns are going to they should win the game at home. I'm just saying if you're going to throw in a parlay, I'm saying look at that option.
Unless you can
spin it all the way over to get the Browns plus 3.5. That's a totally different animal, but I don't think you're going to be able to do that. Even with the 7.5-point teaser, I don't think anybody's going to give you more than 3. So I would be looking to play maybe Cleveland on the money line. Green Bay at home versus Jacksonville. Jacksonville 1-7, Green Bay 6-2. Green Bay is laying 13.5 with a total of 49 in this game. This Jacksonville, you know, one of you guys is making the, you know, they're a scrappy bunch right here. I mean, they're just. They don't believe they're 1-7.
Yeah.
And you get every ounce of effort out of this Jacksonville team. But, you know, 31st ranked defense in the NFL, guys, 280 yards through the air.
Man. Yeah, that's the issue for the Jags is the no defense, and you're right. On offense, I want to see it come together. Granted, they're actually down to the third string. Yeah, they started him last week, Jake Luton, the
rookie. They drafted, though. So
yeah, six-round guy. And they said they liked him a lot. He did okay.
Yeah.
His numbers were pretty well. 80-yard touchdown on his first play.
There's tape on him now.
Right, right.
That's a big deal.
And nonetheless, though, we talked about, I mean, I like their weapons in general pretty nice. A really nice balanced receiver set. And they're starting to get something from the running game, too, despite letting Fournette go. The undrafted rookie James Robinson's doing good at running back. But yeah, that's the issue. The Jags, they can't stop anybody. So they still have a hard time moving the ball, like despite those weapons. Line is shaky protection at all times. So they're sort of erratic like that, but Ken, yeah, there's just a sieve on defense. So I don't know. I feel like the Packers could probably smash them pretty good.
But you get Green Bay at home right here in a short number. I mean, 49 used to not be a short number. 49 used to be a high total.
Right.
But Green Bay at home going against a 31st ranked defense in the NFL. The Green Bay coming off a win versus San Francisco. They have Indy on deck. It's a spot, guys, for Green Bay to throw up 40 in this game. I mean, that 49 is light. That's way light.
It's way light.
And the Jags can do enough to hold up their end of that. The Jags would rather give you 21.
Yeah, exactly.
21.
And that's the only thing I would bet here. I was trying to make a case for the Jags. I'll wait until next week for that. But over – it's going to be 50. Yeah.
Go ahead, John.
I'll bet it over.
All right. Philadelphia playing the New York Giants. Let me get this right here.
Is this division have to keep playing?
Philadelphia is laying 3.5, 44.5 on the card. Money's already came in a little bit on Philadelphia. It's up to 4 right now. Philadelphia 3-4-1. The Giants 2-7. Giants one game out of first place. Dallas one game out of first place. I mean,
who would
Miles
ever thought this game has playoff implications?
I love the stat that the Eagles have a better chance of winning their division than the Steelers do. They're 3-4, 3-4-1. The Steelers are 8-0.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. But you know what? This one, it's rough actually because the Giants have been playing. They're the ones that's been playing better than their record.
Yeah, they have.
Of all the NFC East teams, they're actually coming alive. But all bad breaks, they always have an unfortunate whatever it is, fumble or the defensive stand they don't get. But they're a couple plays away from a few more wins. Probably should have beaten Dallas, and they've had a couple other
right
games slip out of hand. And aren't they the tie? Aren't they the tie in
Who?
The Eagles record?
No, the Bengals are.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, we could be headed to a tie with these teams, too, because
let's
there's just
the
not
Bengals
much separation. It's the time you go with the Eagles. I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants won it outright. So I kind of like the under a little bit.
All right, let's hold off on your guys' thoughts. We have to head off to traffic. It's that time. So when we come back, we'll continue talking very briefly about the Eagles and the Giants after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
Welcome back to William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel, Tommy Thompson, and John the Hawk Stevens. We left off with Philadelphia and the New York Giants. Tommy, any parting shots? Philadelphia -4 and 44.5.
If anything, I'd take the Giants. I like that +4.5, and they're 6-3 against the spread, so take my risk with that.
And they're at home, and I tend to agree with that.
Yeah, I like the Giants. The Giants, like Josh said, they're playing pretty well. It's all things up for grabs. I think the Eagles are probably a better team, but like,
slightly.
We don't really know that.
I mean,
4.5 at home.
Dallas
give me
can
a
still
team
win
that's
the division.
Not that, yeah, exactly.
That's crazy to say. I mean, as bad as they are,
one game out.
I mean, maybe the quarterback for Dallas, Gilbert, is going to be something and do just enough. I mean, all you need. The team that's the most motivated, the team that comes out, that finishes the year most motivated in this division will make the playoffs.
I think that's the Giants right now.
That's how close it is.
Yeah, I think that's
how close it is. I'd only have the Giants here at +4, Josh.
Yeah, I do the same, but actually, I think I like the under a little bit. Both teams struggle on offense, and so those things. Wentz is a statue back there, too. I just think you're going to see a lot of sacks that kill the drives or whatever. So I'd like the under a little more. But, Ken, it's funny because I know you like the Cowboys. I thought with what Gilbert did last week, to me it was – measurable upgrade from DiNucci, and I thought, man, if he does just enough to help get him downfield with a lot of both dual barrel running backs, they could still win. Like I said, the NFC
really
East,
could.
They could still be the representative.
They played hard last week. They played hungry.
You're right. The key is that defense. I mean, having some motivation on the defensive side of the ball. Tampa Bay at Carolina. Both teams coming off a loss. Tampa Bay loses to New Orleans. They got absolutely demolished 38-3. Carolina looked really respectful last week versus Kansas City, losing 33-31. I like what I'm seeing with this Carolina team. Tampa Bay's laying 5.5, total of 50.5 in this game. This is supposed to be one of those games where you're just supposed to bet the best team to bounce back. But going on the road, this Carolina team is young. Christian McCaffrey, look, he's out, isn't he? Still game time decision. I haven't heard officially out, but I think he's leaning to be out.
Right.
But you know what? Mike Davis has been admirable in his spot.
He's actually
playing well. So this would be, guys, this is Carolina or nothing for me. 5.5. I mean, there's no reason for me to think that Tampa Bay at 6-3, 4-5 versus the spread can go on the road and just hand it to Carolina. Carolina, you'll get four quarters of football out of Carolina. They're ranked number 15th on offense. They're ranked number 17th on defense. You know, they want to run the ball. I like Carolina.
You know, I agree, Ken. They're really good. I think it's underrated how much the Panthers are improved. One, I think for sure Matt Rhule was a great call as a hire because, as I've mentioned before, he had some NFL experience, even though all his head coaching was in college, but he's been a coordinator. He just seems to know how to rally guys around him like he did at Baylor and Temple. And so it's like almost starting a college program, you know, from scratch, all the holdovers. There wasn't much of a roster there. But the immediate upgrades that they made, and they're kind of subtle, but even their receiving corps is one of the best in the league, right? You got somebody like Robbie Anderson's the sure-handed guy. DJ Moore's the explosive. Curtis Samuel, who could also run. So they've got one of the best receiving corps in the league. McCaffrey, when he's healthy, but you mentioned even with him out, Davis has been fine. It's funny because when McCaffrey's out, you know, we talked about the OBJ thing. They're actually more varied on offense. They don't rely on him, even though he was huge last week. And they're one stop away. In fact, I love how well they played in Kansas City. It was great. But I almost thought they got a little carried away. I mean, the fake punt and stuff was awesome, but the onside kick, that was pretty brutal. I mean, they were only down two, right? I think, what are you doing? Like, there was some questionable. I mean, I love the courage to do that. But I felt like, they were right there with them. And Ken, the Bucs, even coming off, you would think, oh, there's that bounce back angle with what the Saints did to them. I think they're in trouble here because I saw the first Panthers-Bucs game too, and they were right there. The Panthers stayed with them the whole time. The only thing is, I think the Bucs ended up winning by 10 or 11, but Carolina was trying to get off the field late and get that last possession. They allowed a long touchdown to Fournette, so they were right there.
Absolutely. I'm not impressed with Tom Brady, guys. I mean, I kind of saw the demise of Brady last year at New England.
What's he ever done, really?
Nothing recently. I like Carolina. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah, McCaffrey's been officially ruled out, so
he's been ruled out.
Okay, so he has officially. So Mike Davis, for your fantasy owners, could be on the waiver wire.
My first thought was, like Josh mentioned, the Bucs bounce back here. If you know who we thought they were 2 weeks ago, or I thought they were 2 weeks ago, unless the Saints just absolutely exposed them, which is absolutely could be the case here. I don't feel comfortable betting the Panthers. You guys make a lot of good points with that. I still would lean towards the Buccaneers on a huge bounce back here, but I'm probably just going to lay off of it.
Yeah, I stay away from this game just because as much as we kind of give Brady a hard time with what has he done. Has he ever had back-to-back terrible games?
Not often.
But he's getting long in the tooth, too.
But he's got a lot of good offensive weapons on that team, and
he looked terrible last game.
Unless Antonio Brown has ruined another team.
So his passer rating was the worst it had ever been. So,
there's desire for sure.
Yeah, I expect him to bounce back.
Yeah,
whether the team can is another story.
It should be a fun game because the reason the Panthers are so fun to watch is because if they play no defense at all, they give up a lot, but their offense is capable. So you see the Chiefs 33-31, and that even seemed low scoring for a while.
Yeah.
But most of these Panther games are just back and forth if you like offense.
Yep. Raiders at home versus the Broncos. Nick used 5.5 on this card with a total of 51. This number's all the way down to 4. So you're seeing a full 1.5 move towards the underdog here in Denver. Raiders are at 5-3. They're right just on the cusp outside looking in for a possible wild card spot to get into the playoffs. I like what the Raiders are doing here. They beat the Chargers last week 31-26 on a replay of a pass into the end zone, and it was the right call. The Raiders do have Kansas City on deck, so I can actually see the reason for this move right here. This Denver team is a scrappy team. They want to run the ball too. They're averaging about 111 yards a game, and Raiders are giving about 118 yards a game. So you're going to see Denver. And I'm not interested in the Raiders offensively this year, and I don't think they separate enough. So I'll be playing the plus 5.5 on the white card.
Yeah,
that makes sense. I like the Raiders here. I think the Raiders win the ball game. That 5.5 is tough to deal with, though. I had the Broncos last week against the Falcons, and that didn't turn out so hot for me.
But they came all the way back, though, and almost covered it. It wasn't looking good.
And the Raiders have had a couple horrible games in Vegas at home.
Right.
Against the Bills and the Patriots, maybe. But they, I can't make a definitive decision in this game quite yet. I want some more information from you guys.
And Tommy, I know you look at the stats and the coverage. Like I said, the Raiders are 5-3 versus the spread, but of their eight games, they're 6-1-1 with towards the total, with six of the eight going over and one being a push. So 6-1-1 versus the total. So do you think this? Do you think that Tommy at 50.5 it can get there?
I think it can. I think both teams are going to score in the 20s. I like the plus side with Denver keeping it close. I don't think this is really going to be a look ahead game for Kansas City because I think
you mean. To Kansas
City. Kansas City.
I didn't mean to correct. I see what you're saying.
It is, you know, Denver's been a thorn in the Raiders' rear end for years, so it is another rivalry game.
Great point.
Denver team is very, very scrappy.
Great point.
Drew Locke's looking better and every game, so I'll take the plus, and I think I'm leaning towards the over as well.
Josh, I understand the move.
Yeah, I like the underdog as well. I just think, you know, Denver's one of those teams. If you watched even the first opening night, Monday night game against Tennessee, super sloppy game, but they probably should have won. You know, they pretty much outplayed him the whole way and just fell apart. And Denver's been like that, but I felt like their comeback against the Chargers a couple of weeks ago, maybe that boost their confidence a little bit. Still had a letdown last week, but as they get healthier, I mean, they've had, you name it, right? I mean, Locke himself has been out, but the receivers, running backs, Phillip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon have had injury issues. When they're all fully healthy, they're pretty decent. They got a nice young unit offensively, and when the defensive guys step up, I mean, they're kind of an up-and-coming team.
All right. Cardinals at home versus the Bills. Nick used 1.5 on the Cardinals with a total of 56.5. 56.5 is the highest total on the parlay card this week. Money coming in already on the Cardinals. It's moved a full point towards Arizona. Right now we set at Arizona minus 2.5, 56.5. The Bills 7-2. Coming off a 44-35 victory over Seattle. Arizona's 5-3. Somehow found a way to lose to Miami 34-31 last week. I just look at this game in one tunnel, with one tunnel vision. How does this game stay under?
I know.
I kind of like, you know, talking about playing money lines. You're not getting huge value, but that plus 125 for the Bills to win this game outright. I like it. I just think...
You wouldn't be surprised.
No.
I can see your angle, Tommy.
Not at all. I think overall they're a little bit better team. They came off a huge win beating the Seahawks, and they're just going to ride that momentum right into Arizona and take care of business, hopefully.
Who would have thought I'd be excited for a Bills-Cardinals game, too?
Yeah. I mean, Arizona, a number one offense in the NFL, yeah. John. 422 yards a game on average. Yeah, 422 yards a game. They're rushing for 162 yards a game. On the other side of the ball, the Bills are giving up 125. So you kind of look at, you know, you have to look at these matchups and say, is the other offense or defense good enough to expose it? And you look right here.
I don't think so.
This is one of those games where who's going to stop who? I mean, it'll probably be a 13-10 game, but I think handicapping this, guys, I mean, you know what they say, they say in sports betting, take the lowest total and bet it under, and take the highest total and bet it over. I like the game over.
Agreed.
That's the only thing I can play here. Maybe the Cardinals. If the Bills win this game, if they go on the road cross country and win this game, I'm not saying they're not for real already, but that's a pretty good feather in your cap there.
It'll move them to 8-2.
Yep.
Yeah, that's absolutely crazy.
And Ken, it's funny how you mentioned that, right? It does seem like the opposite could happen. You talk about all the offense, and then it could be some, you know, slow, choppy game. But I think the ingredients are there too, because what people don't realize about Buffalo, for some reason, you know, their defense isn't good as sort of their reputation suggests, and their offense isn't as bad. Like, they get in these – you've seen the games against the Rams, whatever. They get in these shootouts all the time.
Yeah.
And they're entertaining. Josh Allen, they have a great – they're actually very well-rounded on offense now, and yet they don't get a lot of stops either.
Going to what you're saying, Josh, Buffalo – and John and Tommy, Buffalo's 7-2. They've scored 242 points this year and given up 233. Their point differential is 9, and they're 7-2.
Yeah, that's impressive.
I mean
Yeah, I know.
Anyways, just an interesting.
That's how the Niners were all year last year.
I mean, you have Miami.
Oh, absolutely.
Miami's 5-3, and their point differential with only two games over 500 is 61. The Bills are 7-2 with a point differential of 9. So, crazy. I like the game to go over. Seattle travels to play the Rams. 2.5 is two flats where we set right now at 54.5. Nick used... When I say Nick, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, it's Nick Bogdanovich, the lead trader for William Hill. He puts out all these numbers. The Rams, he used the Rams on the parlay card at 1.5 and 55.5. The Rams have went up to 2, so money coming in on the Rams. And the totals actually dropped down to 54.5, so a full-point move on the under here. Listen, I don't understand any moves. towards the under and Seahawks games?
Never. Absolutely not.
This is another game that I really like to go over. I think it's actually a really bad spot for the Rams, being that Seattle's the cream of the crop in that division. And Pete Carroll, he's a genius. And same with Belichick. You don't see him lose back-to-back games. And so I think it's going to be a high scoring. I think Seattle's going to win this game outright. Wait till that money line goes up a little higher and get some value in it and cash a check.
You know, Seattle came out of the gates pretty strong, but actually this is a bad spot for them only because the Rams, they struggle with them, especially the home team seems to win this game. But remember last year, the Rams should have beat them twice. Remember, they blew them out in L.A., and actually I think missed a field goal or whatever at the end, had them beat in Seattle too. So for some reason, they just do, like the game planning, scheming, whatever. So within the division, this is where Seattle struggles, and I think they could lose two in a row easily just because look how close they were early in the season. If the Patriots make an extra play, the Cowboys – you know, ultimately the luck's evening out. Seattle's very good, but I wouldn't be surprised if they lose at all.
Yeah, I like the Rams here.
Huge game NFC West. Seattle's sitting right there at 6-2. The Rams are 5-3. The Rams are coming off a bye last week, so if the Rams win this, they're going to share a lead of the NFC West. Rams have the number two defense in the NFL. Number six offense, but on the other side of the ball, you have Seattle at number 32. The Rams coming off a bye right here, and with something to play for this week, I think you get a huge effort. And Josh, I agree. I wouldn't be surprised if Seattle loses this game. I like the Rams, guys. I think the Rams at home on a very, very short number for the chance to take a partial tie atop the NFC West. I think I like the Rams.
And then whoever the Seahawks are playing next week, I'm going to unload on the Seahawks.
I can tell you, it's Arizona.
There you go.
How's that game go under?
It doesn't. That's 44-34 Seahawks.
At the half. So I like the Rams, guys. Anybody have any?
I love the Rams.
All right. Let's head off to our last commercial break. We come back. We'll finish on the NFL slate. ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
All right, I'm your host here on ESPN 94.5 FMB. Tommy Thompson over here, John the Hawk Stevens to my right, Josh Nagel from Sportsline. You can get all Josh's stuff on Sportsline. Make sure you do that, sportsline.com. And our Facebook page at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. We'll be posting our selections after the show. All right, John, you have a system play on this next game. Saints at home versus the 49ers. 9.5 is the number, with the Saints obviously being -9.5, a total of 50.5. New Orleans 6-0, coming off the dismantling of Tampa Bay last week, 38-3. San Francisco 4-5. They got dismantled by Green Bay, 34-17. So both defensive teams, Saints are the only team I believe in the NFL that are ranked in the top 10 in offense and defense. San Francisco 13 on offense, somehow 7 on defense. What's your system play, John?
This runs at 87%, Josh.
All right.
If a team played their previous game on a Thursday and they're playing a non-division opponent as an away dog, you take them 13-2, 87%. And that's the Niners here. So if they fit that criteria, that's a long way to go, but it's 87%. That's enough for me. I like the Niners as it was, and then I saw that. So that's
87% over what time frame?
Over the last 15
occurrences.
Team played their last game on a Thursday, played non-division opponent on the road as a dog.
I can see that, guys. You know, the one thing you have to remember about when it comes to sports betting is you can't overreact to what your eyes just saw. Everybody's going to see, oh, my God, New Orleans just dismantled Tampa Bay 38-3. San Francisco got crushed 34-17. The natural wise guy play, guys, here is San Francisco.
Right.
It is. It 100% is. I like San Francisco in here. If this gets to 10.
And for some reason, the Saints have reversed their old habits. We're like, they're better on the road now. They've been playing great in road environments. And, yeah, they have tighter games at home recently. So. It makes sense, and I hadn't heard that specific stat. I knew, I mentioned before the show, the Niners were a popular sharp play this week. I knew that just because bordering on almost 10 points, you know, with the team that was in the Super Bowl last year, I realized how depleted they are from that. But a team with a real good winning tradition going under, you know, Kyle Shanahan, not surprising it's a sharp play.
I love San Francisco in this spot. I'm going to wait. Hopefully, I think that the eye test for the public bettors moves this to 10, because then you're definitely going to have me at some 10, and you're going to have me at some 10-point teasers at some plus 20.
Kev. I was going to say, if you're a teaser player, and that's the way to go with the dog, I would agree totally. And I do a lot of 6 and 6.5-ish type of things, but take the Niners up to like 16.5 would be perfect.
If you really want to gamble, guys, throw some Niners money line into some parlays, because I would not be surprised if the Niners have a huge effort this game.
Yep. I think they beat them in New Orleans last year also, obviously with a much better team.
But. Much better team, though. But what do you think, Niner fan?
I like a big effort out of Nick Mullins today. We were talking about Brandon Ayuk. He actually just got cleared 2 hours ago off of the COVID, so he will be playing tomorrow.
All right.
And Bourne is back also. So the Niners are going to have some weapons on offense. That number does go over 10. I definitely love it. I expect a big effort out of that offense. And, again, it's in New Orleans. They don't play the best. They play better on the road and take the points.
Coming off a huge emotional win versus Tampa Bay, too, 38-3. Ravens traveling to New England to Foxborough to play the Patriots. Ravens laying 7.5 on the road, total of 43. That's what Nick used. A little bit of money coming in on the Patriots right here. I can see it's down to 7. So a little bit of money coming in on the Patriots. Move the Ravens down to 7-43. Ravens coming off a win versus Indy. They're 6-2. They have Tennessee on deck. The Patriots, I have no interest in this Patriots team for one reason. After they beat the Jets, they jumped around like they had just clinched the AFC championship. And that's, to me, for what you expect out of a Patriots team, it was disgusting. And the fact that they got that excited over beating the Jets, give me a break. The Ravens have to stay in stride, John. I'm gonna flip it up to you, but I have no interest in the Patriots at home +7.
Zero. I know I wouldn't either. It's 7.5 is a lot to lay here though. That's
it is, but you know I think
Bill Belichick
doesn't feel like the Ravens offense needs to get healthy. You know, at some point,
yeah.
Then you realize, well, the Patriots did give up 27 to the Jets. Like I just wonder too if this is the Ravens get well game, and I think it might be.
And even in the good old days for the Patriots, the Ravens were always a little bit of a thorn in their side. So.
And Lamar
they've beat him in the playoffs.
And Lamar Jackson taking a lot of heat.
Yeah, that exactly. That's what I think. You know, last year's MVP by a long.
Tease the Ravens to win.
And I think you know he's starting to hear the critics come out of the woodwork again. I think you know it's definitely a motivating factor for him. And they also just have too much talent to not explode at some point, right?
You know, John, the Steelers are top of the AFC North at 8-0. The Ravens can't let this game get away. They're 6-2. I mean, they can't. It's a great spot, but. I'm with you guys laying 7 going on the road versus Belichick. I think that it's a recipe for disaster. However, I think that this could be the spot where you could lay it. Let's see, for the year, the Patriots are -28 in point differential. The Ravens are +85. So, I think the Ravens have played probably a tougher schedule.
For sure.
I'd take the Ravens here just because we like to go to that, Belichick, Belichick, Belichick. But this is not a normal Patriots team that he's had for the last two decades.
Right.
This is a team that literally needed the last 4 seconds to beat the Jets and were behind multiple times 17 points. So I'll take the Ravens minus that 7.5 all day long.
Like I said, guys, the Patriots won their Super Bowl last week versus the Jets the way they were jumping around.
Yeah, but they lost Trevor Lawrence because of it. So.
Well, we'll see. Miami at home versus the Chargers. This opened up at Miami -2.5. It's down to 1.5. So money coming in on the Chargers. Ever since Tua has taken over the helm at Miami, they're 2-0. But I'm still not convinced. I'm sorry, guys. I'm still not convinced. Game one, there was a ton of turnovers, special teams, and things of that nature.
Would you rather have Herbert or Tua?
Herbert.
Me too.
Absolutely. I'd rather have Burrow over. I'd rather have them all over, And this is kind of that game too. You have Miami took Tua and the Chargers took Herbert right behind him. So they both have something to that they want to prove right here. Chargers number 2 offense in the NFL.
That's pretty good, man.
420 yards a game, and Miami's defense is ranked 22nd, 384 yards a game. And there was a time when Miami was moving the ball at Fitzpatrick. They moved all the way down to the number 28th ranked offense in the NFL. I would only have the Chargers in this game.
Yeah, I like that as well, Ken. It's kind of funny, only because it would seem bizarre because the Chargers are the ones just inventing ways to lose, right? They're setting NFL records of biggest, margin of lead squandered 6 consecutive weeks. And you would think, why on earth would you take them now? Because now's the spot. Like, I agree. Yeah. I loved Miami last week. I thought they were getting too many points. I took money line at +220 and got 6 points before. So I love that situation. And you're right, though. Everything fell their way against the Rams. So now, to me, this is where you reverse it, though. Now, when suddenly Miami's getting the respect where they're, you know, might end up being like a 3-point chalk in this one. Now you jump on the value. The value's for sure with the Chargers.
Exactly. That's my exact way of thinking. I don't have to say anything.
Go ahead. Like the Chargers in this one. And in the last 5 years, the Chargers have lost 36 one-score games.
Wow.
They're right there. Chargers are on the doorstep. Monday night game, Chicago versus Minnesota. Minnesota going to Soldier Field, laying 3, total of 43.5. Minnesota, this Dalvin Cook for Minnesota, is absolute beast. And this Minnesota, they're 3-5. They're fighting. You know, Chicago is, you know, they were 3-0 or 4-0, and now they're 5-4. Minnesota's, you know, beat up
Mr.
Detroit.
Mr. Trubisky's still undefeated, by the way.
What's that?
Mr. Trubisky's still undefeated as their quarterback.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, and he's, but he's not in the lineup, right? So that's crazy. Minnesota 3-5. You know, they still, they're looking to get back to 500. They have Dallas on deck. You get a huge effort by Minnesota this week. Laying 3 on a Monday night, I don't know, home dog on Monday Night Football. Talking about stats, John, about an 80% clip. Take the home dog on Monday night.
I love that, except for one thing is Kirk Cousins, his record on a Monday night. He's winless.
I don't think it's just Monday. I think, isn't it primetime?
It's primetime games. He is
anytime.
Over.
He does not like that. I will take the Vikings here, though, to reverse that curse. Wow. Only because my microphone cord is purple.
I like the Bears a little bit just because you mentioned, again, like, just to reverse that trend. They're the ones who – they're so tough at home, but they rarely pull it off. Like, they beat the Bucs. It just feels like the Bears – that Saints game is just like the replay of every, you know, home contest they've had lately where they hang in there but just lose by about a field goal.
Yeah.
I think it's time for them to reverse that. I mean, I think
cold,
you got to take the points in this. Yeah,
Chicago-type
game.
Outside, Chicago's defense is going to find a way to keep this game close. Just it goes back to you just can't – you know, you see this Vikings team, what they've done the last few games. You know, this Chicago team's playing for pride. They're 5-4 still, guys. No matter how bad they're playing, they're one game behind the Packers.
Exactly.
They have to win this game, and I just think it's a great spot. It's a great system play, home dog on Monday night. That's where I'm at. So, John, we got 1 minute. You got your picks, or you want to just post them?
Oh, I didn't. No, I don't have them.
We'll post them on Facebook. Underdog play of the week this week, everybody, just so you know, is Boston College over Notre Dame. Actually, Boston College plus 12.5.
It's not a consensus on this panel. So,
Josh, you got any parting shots?
No, but like you said, I have a couple picks in mind, but we'll post them all on the page, so we'll give them later.
All right, you can download Josh's stuff at Sportsline. He puts all of his stuff on sportsline.com. He's a senior analyst there, and we appreciate his content there. Tommy Thompson and John the Hawk Stevens, I'll get their picks, and we'll post those on our Facebook page at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Happy birthday to the greatest man I ever met,
Mills Lane.
Happy birthday, Millsy. Love you guys. Let's get it on. Let's win some money. Make sure you do all your wagering with William Hill. Download the William Hill mobile sports app at www.williamhill.us, a full-service sports betting app right at your fingertips. Like I said, we're going to post our picks. Get on there. Hopefully we'll find you some winners. See you next week on ESPN 94.5 FM.